The budget special programme, as broadcast on Radio Carousel on Wednesday, the 28th of January, 1981, between the hours of 5 o'clock and 7 p.m.
6.4 megahertz VHF. Today is budget day. The new Minister for Finance, Mr. Jean Fitzgerald, is at the moment presenting his annual package, which in reality will affect every aspect of Irish life. The Minister hasn't been short of advice or pressure from groups trying to swing the pendulum their way. Most people say the old reliables will be hit, beer, cigarettes and spirits and petrol. Predictions also are suggesting an easy budget because of an impending general election. Let's find out in Budget Special 1981.
You're listening to the Budget Special on Radio Carousel, 265, 282 and 96.4 megahertz VHF.
This year's budget is being presented against a background of rising unemployment and the declining of the value of the Irish punt, and demands for higher social welfare benefits for the needy, demands to ease income tax burden in the PAYE sector, especially for the lower paid, and demands for aid to assist the crisis-hit farming industry. The Minister will also have to take into consideration government borrowing and demands for wage increases from public sector employees.
Of equal significance and particular importance to the background of today's budget is the role played by political expediency. It is an open secret, I think, that although the budget is being introduced by the recently appointed Minister for Finance, Mr. Jean Fitzgerald, the Taoiseach, Mr. Haughey, will have had a big say in the composition of the budget package. It's also a widely held belief that the Taoiseach will be calling a general election for May or June, so it's unlikely that the budget will contain anything that will alienate the support of large numbers of the electorate. So we can, I think, expect a mild budget in comparison to the economic difficulties outlined by Ray. And the real budget we can look forward to sometime in the autumn.
Well, during the course of the next 2 hours, we'll be bringing you the details of the budget and talking to some of the people that it will affect directly. Some of the people among we'll be talking to, John McCullen of the agricultural sector. We have a resident economist with us in the studio, Aidan Heffernan. We'll also speak to Tom Leddy, a union representative, Michael O'Reilly. Eamon Heaney will be giving his view, and we'll have some views from the general public and also from the people that it will mostly affect, from the Carol cigarette people and from the various working people around the town of Dundalk, all in a couple of minutes' time. Do our budget special. We started off there with a little piece of music, of course, from Montovani and his orchestra. But to the details of today, I mentioned to you that we would have a resident economist with us in the studio between now and 7 o'clock. His name is Aidan Heffernan. Aidan, good afternoon to you, and you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Ray. I'd like to start off, Ray, by giving you the good news on the budget. And the good news, as far as I can see, Ray, so far, is that long-term pensioners are going to be very happy. There's been a 25% increase there. And short-term pensioners on short-term benefits, these are benefits will increase by 20%. Now, these increases, of course, are from April. Some good news for farmers so far announced are the abolition of all levies of farmers. These levies, of course, the farmers were fighting strongly against these levies, and the government has conceded this one. The levies will mean, in effect, that farmers will get a half p per gallon increase in their milk. The resource tax has been abolished for farmers, and this is a saving to farmers of £6 million per year. So they should be pretty happy with this budget so far. The valuation for tax purposes for farmers is maintained at £40 rateable valuation. Agricultural rates. Now, this is a very difficult issue, and some relief has been given. In fact, relief for farmers under £50 rateable valuation. These are farmers whose poor law valuation is under £50. These farmers will no longer pay any rates. And farmers between £50 and £70 rateable valuation, there's a 50% reduction in their rate bill. So the rates concession will be substantial. Now, as far as the PAYE sector is concerned, and this is concerns most of us, the first news here is that there's no change in direct tax. Now, the PAYE allowance has increased from £400 to £600. This was expected in per the National Wage Agreement. There's been a slight change in concession too in the 35% tax band. This tax band, which operated on your taxable income at £4,000, there has been an increase there to £4,500, so that income at that level will be still taxable at 35%. These allowances, of course, are doubled in the case of married people. Now, the cost of these benefits so far that we have are £60 million in 1981, and these will amount to £92 million in a full year. Now, the bad news. petrol, of course, is one that we're all watching, and we expect an increase here, and this has increased by 15p per gallon. There's been a 10p increase on the price of 20 cigarettes, which means that your packet of 20 carols or whatever will now cost 80 pence. 6p has gone on beer, your pint of beer, and spirits are up by 12p per glass. If you enjoy wine, a bottle of wine will cost 25p more from this budget. Car tax, the registration fee has increased from £10 to £20. This is for cars under 16 horsepower. Company tax, the news so far is that the 10% rate, I understand, new rate is to apply for this year from 1981, and that there's been a special incentive for industry to get involved in building moderate cost housing. There's also an initial allowance of 50% for industrial buildings that are leased. So this is some of the information we've got to date, Ray.
Okay, Aidan, well, you've given us good and bad news. I might add that the minister began speaking at about 3:30 in the Doyle this afternoon, and he began by saying that the economy should grow faster this year than last year. And he is still urging, of course, credit restraint. He says that is still necessary. And he also tells us that borrowing must be reduced immediately. And he has announced additional capital to state-sponsored bodies, a special allowance there of £70 million to state-sponsored bodies. The opening deficit in the budget was £500 million, and with all the handouts that he gave in the early part of the budget, it was another £250 million added to that. So it brings a deficit of £750 million. Mike, he's obviously got some of that back on the beer, etc.
Yes, I'd be very interested if Aidan could tell us, in fact, if he had any indication what the effect of these price increases would have on, say, the average family, because at the beginning there, it looked as though the minister was going to give a little to everybody. Do you think it had the beginnings of the luck of a political budget, election budget?
From the news so far, I'd say that it looked definitely as if the minister in his first budget was obviously indicated definitely that there's as far as I can see that there's an election due this year, and these incentives, particularly to the farming sector, who are very badly hit in the last 2 years. In fact, they've suffered a decline in their income by 50% in real terms in the last 2 years. These incentives, while they won't satisfy them, should go a long way to help the situation in agriculture. And the allowances for old age pensioners, which have increased by 25%, this in fact has covered inflation, and it's a substantial increase. And definitely the old age pensioners should be pretty happy with this.
Do we have an actual fact, an indication of what inflation is at the moment? There was some government figure of 15-16%. Yeah. Would that be
we're
under?
Working out at the moment between 15-18%. Projected for next year was a slight decline in that, but these figures, you know, the spending that the minister has undertaken today, in fact, while we this might lead to a slight increase in that rate. We don't know yet. We haven't the full facts yet. But I'd expect still that there's this increase to old age pensioners is a real increase there.
So it's good news for old age pensioners. On the bad news scene, I noticed the petrol going up 15 pence a gallon. That seems to exceed what most people had anticipated, 10p a gallon. And I must say, I'm very glad I filled up my car just before the beginning of this programme. But 15p seems to be a hefty whack at the poor old motorist, isn't it?
It is. The thing, of course, there is, too, that the government, I would imagine, there is using petrol, trying to get the message across to us, I presume, to spare it, you know. This is adding to our import bills, you know.
Does that mean, though, that people will use less petrol? Does that mean that his revenue from petrol taxes, will it in actual fact go down?
No, I'd imagine that there's a certain level here, and it definitely hasn't reached that level yet, where there'll be a sharp decline in the use of petrol. Petrol is obviously an essential commodity, really, and we all have to use a certain amount. So I'd imagine the government's take from petrol will in fact increase.
I'd say one of the most important things, if I may come in there for a moment, Aidan, I think everybody is obviously waiting, not business people, but the man in the street has been waiting to hear what the price of his drink, cigarettes, spirits, etc., everything is going up. Beer is up 6 pence, we'll recap on that. Spirits are up by 12 pence, that's 6 pence on a half glass.
Mm-hmm.
A bottle of wine you mentioned is up 25 pence. There's £79 on a colour television set,
mm-hmm.
that's up £10 on last year. And car tax under 16 horsepower now goes up to £20.
£20, yeah.
Now, taking the fact that the minister has also said that he is allowing no increased tax allowances, how do you think, or would you imagine, that the person in the street is going to react to all this?
Yeah, well, there has been a slight increase in the tax allowances in the sense that the special PAYE allowance, which has been £400 for 1980-81, this, I understand, has increased to £600. So there's some saving there. Also, the tax band will be an incentive to a person there on the 35% rate. In fact, that's a saving of £75 a year there. So these are some concessions. But
can, Aidan, can we, sorry to interrupt you there, can we really sort of look at those savings and say that they are savings in real terms? I mean, the man in the street is going to have to cope with inflation the same as the old age pensioner, and giving him what are really meagre handouts there on the income tax thing. Do you think in real terms the amount of money he's going to have is going to be down?
Yes. Well, a lot will depend really on the rate of inflation for the next year. The national understanding has been understood to be quite generous, and this isn't a major gain to the man in the street, the ordinary urban dweller. But there are some concessions there, and we all know that the old age pensioners and people in that sector had to be helped, and particularly with inflation at, say, 15-16%, so they had to be helped, and the money has to come from someplace, and I'm afraid the ordinary worker has to contribute, you know.
Do you think this is going to be received very well? I mean, when you consider the PAYE demonstrations of last year, there was a hint that they might start again.
Yes.
Do you consider that it's likely that he's in for a sticky couple
of
months?
Yes, I can see that the trade unions will be disappointed there with that, with the allowances so far that we have. The increase there isn't substantial in the PAYE allowance, it's very small. And the concession in the tax bands, obviously these concessions aren't going to satisfy the trade union movement.
I see. Well, I think we're ready. Are we ready for some music, or have we a break to take, Ray?
I think we'll take a little break first, and then we'll take some music and gather our thoughts on that one, Mike.
265.
A little instrumental interlude there, the sound of Bert Kaempfert. Thank you, Bert Kaempfert. Now, at this point of the proceedings, we take on air John McCullen, an agricultural expert, indeed a man well-versed in agricultural problems. Good evening to you, John.
Good evening.
What do you think of the budget so far? Our economist here, Aidan Heffernan, was remarking that he thought the farmers should be pretty pleased at the package they've got so far. What would the farming reaction be?
No, I don't think they'd be pretty pleased. I suppose the clearest way of stating that is the fact that their incomes have fallen by 50% in 2 years. And in order to make them up, they would need £360 million to get back to the level that they were at 2 years ago. Now, the minister has given us £36 million, which is 10% of that.
And where would
you... which is, I suppose the best way of describing it is that he has made a gesture in the direction of farming. But it's nothing like what would be needed to satisfy farmers.
What did farmers actually want from the minister?
I think we wanted something pretty imaginative at this stage because of the fact that confidence has been so badly hit. See, we haven't had such a drop in farmer confidence, really, I would say, since the economic war. You know, the drop has been of that kind of magnitude. And because of that, I think it'll take an awful lot to get farmers back into this, into a confident humour where they will be willing to take risks. He has taken off rates completely for a certain section of farmers, and he has half taken them off for another section of farmers.
Will there be any way, John, of identifying or quantifying how many farmers would be affected by his changes in the rates there? Would he have taken the rates off a pretty small number of farmers, and would it be a cosmetic job, do you think? That he would be making it look as though he was actually giving something, but at the same time giving very little?
I think the important thing here is that, research findings at the moment have made it pretty clear that it's only 15 or 20% of the total population of farmers who were responsible for the huge increase in production since we joined Europe. Now, that particular 20% wouldn't be helped an awful lot by today's budget. I'm not putting on the poor mouth or anything like that, but that's the 20% of people that have to be helped or pushed to make things happen. Now, he has taken off rates under £50 valuation, which in many cases would apply to part-time farmers rather than full-time farmers. Certainly in this area that would be the case. So that what he does with these kind of people isn't going to affect the total farmer reaction an awful lot. Now, he has taken off the disease levies, which I think is a good move, because they were a bad thing at the very start. They've been there for 2 years now, I think.
Excuse me, Mike, I think Aidan wants to get in here with a question.
The resource tax he has...
Just a moment, can I stop you there, John? Aidan Heffernan has been nodding his head in agreement with what you've been saying, but I think he'd like to pose a question, Aidan.
Yeah, sorry, John, there, I agree with what you've been saying. In fact, I've mentioned the big area I was looking at really was this resource tax. I'd imagine that should please you somewhat. I understand the farmers were pretty angry about that one, I think possibly you expected that to be abolished anyways. Is that the situation there?
I'm not sure whether you heard that, John.
I didn't know.
You didn't know. Aidan was questioning him about the resource tax, the abolition of it. He reckoned that you should be pretty pleased with that.
Well, there was such a reaction against resource tax in the first place, that I don't think farmers in general would be pleased that it's... They would accept that it's gone, but I don't think they ever really accepted that it was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They felt so outraged about it.
Well,
that the fact that it's gone doesn't really affect them an awful lot one way or the other. It was a tax which certainly appeared that it wasn't going to work, because it had to be paid after income tax and after everything else. Whether you had money or not, you still had to pay the resource tax.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's keeping a promise, really, which the Taoiseach made to the farming organisations about 4 months ago.
I think Aidan has another question.
I was just thinking there, John, that possibly there'll be more you'd be expecting more, possibly you weren't expecting a lot from the budget, but that possibly the Minister will be able to get a package together from Europe to help the farming situation,
Aidan is suggesting there, John, that possibly the Minister will be able to get a package together from Europe for the farmers, so that this may be really the only half the story or the beginning of the story of aid to Irish agriculture.
Well, this is the problem, that if Europe measures the enthusiasm for helping the farmers by the Minister's kind of figure, and to use your own words, to give us half a package. If Europe gives us a package of the same size, we still have only got one-fifth of what we need to get back, you know, to the level of income we had 2 years ago.
So then that there's no way that the farming community will be overjoyed with what the minister had to say this afternoon?
I'm afraid that's the net result of the whole thing.
Our reading of the situation from what the minister was saying at the beginning of his speech was that it had every indication of being an election budget. I remember I spoke to you on the subject of this a number of weeks ago, and you were saying that really the militancy of the farmers, they were just flexing their muscles to let the minister know what was capable and reminding him that there was a huge farming vote. Do you think, given an election situation, that the minister may have made a bit of a blunder? Will the farmers come out now, and if there is an election, will they remember what has happened in this budget, do you think?
I'd imagine they will.
So it looks as though on the farming and agricultural scene, today's budget with little cheer for Irish agriculture. Yes, there are nods of agreement from all.
No, the only point I'd like to make is that there was a lot of talk about fertiliser subsidies being in the pipeline, and also about changes within the income tax code for farmers, you know, in order to encourage investment and to help some of the industries which depend on farming. Now, I certainly haven't heard anything about these
so far.
These kind of things. I'm not sure whether anything has actually come or not.
Is he in favour of the
economy? I'm a bit disappointed that there hasn't been, you know, some move in that direction.
Sorry, John, Aidan was just asking me there to inquire if you're in favour of the account system.
The full account system
for Irish farmers.
Well, that's there. You know, I think that's accepted now by farmers, and it's there, and it is obviously is the one which appears just to everybody. Mm-hmm.
So then the big issue of farmer taxation, do you think it's been deflated and is now no longer something that will be a bone of contention with possibly the urban worker and the agricultural sector?
I don't see any reason why it should be a bone of contention. You know, farmers of any size, really, are on accounts now, on full accounts. In fact, they're on more severe accounts than any other business.
But
so I don't see any reason why there should be any particular agro in that area.
But your overall impression is that Irish agriculture won't be too happy with the budget today?
That's my overall impression, yes.
Right, thank you, John McCullen, for joining us on our budget special this afternoon. The time, by the way, if you've just joined us, is coming up on 27 and a half minutes after 5 o'clock. We'll have more budget news for you in just a moment.
Newsflash. Collins Cochar, Carrick Macross, telephone 61631, wish to announce they are
on Radio Carousel, 265, 282 and 96.4 megahertz VHF.
And welcome back to us at 29 minutes after 5. Aidan, I'll bring you back in, if I may, for just a moment there, because we were talking to John McCullen on the farming thing. You started by saying that you thought the farmers may have been pretty pleased, but obviously John isn't pleased about his lot. Have you any comments on what John had to say?
Well, I agree with a lot, really, with John, what John had said, but I still think that with the deficit that the minister has at the moment, that he's went some way towards pleasing the farmers. I don't think he could have went much further. And particularly with the resource tax being abolished, granted it was only £6 million a year it cost him, but it's still still an area that was contentious, and the rates under £50 would affect a large number of farmers, in fact, and that's a major concession to particularly to small farmers around the country, and the £50 to £70 rateable valuation, there farmers there will have half their rates bill. Only have to pay half their rates bill. So these are concessions, and it seems that the levies work out at a half p a gallon more for milk when he has abolished these levies. So that unless there's more to come for the farmers, I think that's some improvement. And but as John pointed out, that farmers have had, in fact, you know, a 50% decline in their real income in the last 2 years, and I'm afraid Europe will have to provide the answer rather than the minister at the moment.
Mike, could I turn to you there? Maybe you could recap on us some of the bad news of the afternoon. We've been giving good news at the beginning of the program, but there is some bad news, so wait for it. If you just come into your homes and are sitting back ready for your tea,
I'm afraid the good news was pretty minimal at the beginning of the budget. The bad news, I'll recap, and I've got some extra details of what the ministers had to say. Basically, the bad news begins with petrol going up 15 pence a gallon, cigarettes 20s up by 10 pence. There was also a pro rata increase for cigars. I'm really annoyed about this. I should have stocked up earlier, but I didn't. 40 pence for a packet of 10. That looks like being no more cigars now this side of Christmas for me. Business tax stock relief to be continued, costing £3 million. The corporation tax payment date has been brought forward 3 months, and beer goes up 6p. Spirits goes up 12 pence and sixpence on half a glass. A bottle of wine also on the way up. It goes up 25 pence. Colour television sets up £10 on last year, from £79 to £89, I think, of an increase there. Mm-hmm. Car tax, the motorists not having a great day because car tax is now at £20 for under 16 horsepower. And an increase in postal charges, we'll have the actual details later, but there is an increase in postal charges being announced. Corporation tax payments have been brought forward by 3 months. Obviously, the minister are anxious to get some cash flow going there. VAT has been abolished on all medical aids. I'm sure that'll be welcomed by a lot of people. Disabled allowances now, I think we've got some good news here. Well, again, that's the complete relief on VAT on medical aids. The blind person's allowance, single allowance, is raised to £400. Blind person's allowance for married is raised to £1,000. Home care allowance is raised from £35 to £45 per month. Other announcement in the budget this afternoon, free telephone rental scheme to include recipients of disabled persons allowance, and the cost of these allowance equals £0.7 million. So he's given a fair bit away to a pretty wide sector of society without actually it costing him very much. The overall concessions to disabled persons is just over £1 million, and I understand that the minister has now finished his budget speech, but I think we've still got some details yet to come. Ray.
I think we left out two important things at the beginning of the programme to a lot of people that will be important. One of the first things that the minister did was to increase social welfare payments by 25% from next April, and also children's allowances are going up from the 1st of July next. Mm-hmm. The children's allowances go up for the first child. It was £4.50, as on from the 1st of July next.
Yes.
It will increase to £6, mm-hmm. and for every subsequent child they will go to £9. But the recapping again, no increase in direct taxation has been forecast. Aidan, any comments on it?
There has been a slight change in the direct tax in the sense that the 35% ban, there's been a concession in the 35% ban, but there has been no major change there. I'm glad to see that the VAT indirect tax hasn't, as far as we understand, hasn't changed. And whereas this was an area the minister could have, in fact, he could have increased the 25% rate on goods to possibly 30%. This was mentioned earlier, but there has been no increase there. So that the VAT seems to be remained the same. The children's allowances, £1.50 for the first one, that will bring it up to £6. That's a help, but large families will, of course, benefit from this. And the old age pensioner, really, the people in receipt of old age pensions, 25% allowance there has in fact covered inflation projected for next year, so that's a real increase. And 20% increase for people receiving unemployment benefit, a single person that was receiving £20.45 now goes up to £24.55. Well, that's a 20% increase, but Whether a person would be happy with that at the moment, I don't know. But I think that's possibly all the minister could afford today, you know.
Okay, Aidan, we'll come back to you in just a little while. We've been joined actually in the studio by Joe Conway, who is the Assistant General Manager of the Bank of Ireland in this region. And we'll talk to Joe in a few moments. I think we'll take a little break for music and get our breath back for a few moments. Nice, of course, limelight there, but of course it isn't nice what we're doing this afternoon. We're having a budget special and we're talking to a lot of people who will be directly affected by this coming budget. In fact, we've got somebody with us on the telephone at the moment from Rogers' Garage, Michael Kerley. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Ray.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I've just sprung the news because unfortunately you didn't hear it, but petrol has gone up 15 pence a gallon in the budget. And also, the car tax has been increased to £20 under 16 horsepower. Your initial reaction to that, Michael?
Well, our initial reaction to the £20, it comes as no surprise. In fact, we don't think ourselves personally that that will affect the buying of cars or the motorists in general. But now, petrol is another item altogether, Ray. In fact, we think that this will really slow down motoring. It may not stop people buying cars, but it certainly will affect the amount of driving people are going to do.
We have been reading in the papers recently, Michael, about a lot of economists are suggesting that there's going to be a severe lull in the buying of new cars. I'm sure you're not feeling it at the moment. I don't think anybody is in this country, but the forecasts are there. Have you any reaction to those forecasts?
Well, people have... There's a general sort of pessimism about at the moment about things in general, Ray, you know, and I suppose really the car business is the one to suffer most. But we don't think people will do without their motor car. But they certainly will restrict the amount of driving that they're going to do. It might even make for better motor cars in so much as that people might be inclined to keep them a bit better, keep them in better condition. It's one of the things that we find with the Irish motorists, really, is that their second-hand car, or their car after 2 or 3 years, they don't keep it anything as well as their counterpart in England. So we're hoping maybe all these things will maybe sort of more or less help matters in the long run. Okay. People will take longer from their motor car and mind it that bit better.
Right, Michael. Well, we have Aidan Heffernan with us in the studio. Aidan is an economist, Michael. He'd like to ask you a question, Aidan.
Ray, I was just...
I hope I can answer him.
Is that Michael?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
You seem to be very far away.
Sorry, I seem to be far away. No, I was just wondering about this 15p on the gallon of petrol. Would you not expect that because motorists will have to suffer this cost, that they're not... Will they not cut back on servicing? Well... Do you understand that there will be a cutback in servicing there?
Sorry, Ray, I haven't been able to catch that. Something was wrong on the line there. I can't hear.
I think you can repeat the question now.
Yeah.
And get it.
I was talking about the 15p increase on the gallon, you know?
Yes.
Would you not expect that you'll suffer from this because motorists will cut back on their servicing costs, a cut down on their costs? They obviously have to pay you
they'll have to buy the petrol from you, but will they not try and save money in other areas by cutting back on servicing and maintenance?
Well, they have been doing this already as a result of sort of general increased costs, but we think that... Of course, we're in the business of selling cars, and to tell you the truth, we don't think that this will stop the public buying. Mm-hmm.
You have suffered a decline, though, have you not, over the last year, as the sales of cars not declined over the last year?
Well, it has, but we blame really the money market for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really a squeeze on money rather than on the cost of fuel, really.
Yeah, high interest costs.
High interest rates and the refusal by the banks at one stage to release money.
I see.
But... Yeah. Fuel is very important, and at this stage it's reaching £2 a gallon, so you'll find an awful lot of people changing downwards in the market.
Yeah, you'd expect an increase there in smaller cars then,
yes,
possibly.
Yes, the small car will become a very valuable item.
Yes.
And the larger car will more or less will depreciate a great deal more.
I see.
Of course, the petrol increase isn't finished. Joe, I think you want to come in there. We haven't introduced you. May I introduce to you now, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Conway is the Assistant General Manager. Michael, if you're still there, of the Bank of Ireland in this region. And a comment there, it was finance, I suppose, that you mentioned that was causing the lull in the car sales. Joe, you had a comment to make on that.
Well, Michael said it was the banks, in fact, that restricted credit. And of course, naturally, as a banker, I would immediately plead that it was possibly the hire purchase companies that were restricting credit to the garage owners. And as Michael himself probably knows, we are inhibited in the amount of money that we can give out for financing cars as banks generally.
But oh, yes.
You're quite right in your statement that the central bank overall did restrict credit very severely, and I know that helped hindered your business quite significantly, and stocks during the year of second-hand cars were very high indeed, far too high, I'm sure, for your comfort, or
that
indeed for your bank managers either.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about you, of course.
Oh, needless to say, I'm not laying the blame on the banks. I realise that they are in the business of lending us money as well, or lending public money to buy.
Yeah.
I'm really stating that it was the restriction on the flow of money that really caused the cutback in car sales.
Do you think, Michael, that there's going to be... a very big sale of the small cars, the new small cars,
yes.
The mini cars now.
Yes, and small cars will boom.
Yeah, have you laid aside any stocks in anticipation of this?
Oh yes, well, Fiat are very much aware. We were always in the small car business, really, you know, in a big way.
I would have guessed that you would have been prepared, all right.
So, looking forward to a boom that way.
Michael, may I thank you very much for joining us on the programme this afternoon.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye-bye now. That was Michael Curley ringing from Rogers' garage. Aidan, I'm going to bring you in. Maybe you would like to bring Joe in on this. Joe, what is your immediate reaction to the budget as you've seen it so far?
Well, I haven't got the full news, Ray, but I think if I was a non-drinking, non-smoking, non-user of a television set and aged 66 years and had a bicycle, I think it probably would be a reasonable budget for me. But since, unfortunately, I'm slightly under 66, I take the odd jar and I do smoke. I anticipated an increase and bought a few cigars on the way here, so I have saved very slightly on that. Generally speaking, so far as the banking business is concerned, there is a slight inflationary trend here, I would think, Aidan. Perhaps 2 or 3% from my quick calculation. Would you agree with that?
I would imagine that it's slightly inflationary, but the minister expects an upturn in the economy. He's expecting it, whether it's going to come or not. But the deficit at the beginning of the budget was 500 million, and I can't see that he has financed all these benefits from the taxes levied here today. So also too, of course, the minister possibly might have a supplementary budget. That's always a possibility later on during the year if things don't improve. But I think overall the minister's approach is probably correct. He doesn't want to deflate the economy. Some economists have suggested that it should have been a hair short budget, and that the minister should have cut back on public spending and all the other services. But I think the minister has just about got it right. He has a balance here, and he's obviously trying to maintain employment. He's hoping for a growth in the economy in real terms during the year, and that these extra taxes, well, they have to be paid. Social welfare people have been protected, and I think possibly he's got it just about right. The foreign borrowing from the government for the last number of years has been very, very high, but the economy can still maintain a certain level of borrowing, and if there is an upturn in the economy, particularly in Britain, which would be a major incentive for us because 40% of our exports still go into that market, and we do have this very big edge in competitive terms on the British market with our, I think our pound is down to 74, 75 pence today.
Yes, it dipped below 75 for the first time, which is not a very good thing for confidence. And
yes,
if the borrowing stays high, undoubtedly the pound is going to come under more pressure.
Yes, though I would argue there that our pound is probably valued, possibly a little bit too low against the English currency, but I can see the British pound coming down later during the year, because I think Mrs. Thatcher, when unemployment reaches 3 million in Britain, will have to take some measures and start to reflate the economy. I think you'll find that the English pound will start to come down, and
would you like to tell me when, Aidan?
Well,
a few of my customers will be very glad to know just when.
I haven't got a crystal ball here, but I can't see it being maintained at this level. And
I think I would agree with you generally.
It's definitely,
the overall impact is going to be on the English sterling coming down eventually.
Yeah.
Our employment is going to go over the 3.5 million.
Yes, and it definitely can't be maintained at that level. I think it's too highly valued. And don't forget, there's a major incentive here, which people haven't emphasized enough, I think, to our exporters. I mean, our exports are that much cheaper on the British market. The only problem, of course, is that Ireland is a large importer, and of course we can see this immediately in the price of oil, which is paid for in sterling or dollars, and our money has been devalued a lot against these currencies, and hence these price increases. But there's two views on this, really. One view is that economists are suggesting that the government should cut back on foreign borrowing and have a deflationary budget. I think the present government has decided that to do that would be extremely damaging to employment prospects, and therefore they decided to more or less not balance their books this year by any means. They haven't balanced their books, but they've maintained a middle course at the moment. And I think it's basically based on the idea that there'll be an upturn in the economy during the year, and that that this will give an incentive to employment and maintain employment by government spending, particularly capital spending by the government.
Yeah. And on that particular point, as you probably know, Aidan and Ray, the central bank generally reacts to the budget about 4 weeks later. So, a representative of the Bank of Ireland, I would be more interested in seeing how much money the government will allow us to lend for productive purposes. Mm-hmm. And a preliminary glance at some of the budget features would indicate that perhaps the farmers will be helped slightly, particularly the smaller farmer. Mm-hmm. And while we are doing our best to restructure loans where farmers have been having a hard time, mm-hmm. undoubtedly the payment of rates is not helping matters, and I would certainly hope that that and the business stock relief will help things a little in the shorter term.
Mm-hmm. There were fears at one point among some economists that the minister, in fact the government, would come out with a budget this time which in fact would be a prelude to a general election, which I think all forecasters are predicting is going to happen before June. Do you see it as as such?
It's hard to say at the moment, Ray. I think myself, on balance, that the farming sector were the people to placate, if you like, and he has gone some way there. I'm not too sure whether the PAYE sector is going to be that happy or fully satisfied with the concessions today, but I would imagine the options are still open for the Taoiseach to have an election this year based on this. There is bad news in it, but on balance, I think there are some good points.
Joe, do you see it? You do, I suppose, see it much the same way, an election budget?
Yes, I think so. Although I heard some comments on the car coming up from the farmers' representatives and the trade union representatives, and they said if it was an election budget, the government wasn't going to get their vote on the matter. In fact, the trade union has said that he was going to talk to his colleagues fairly soon to discuss with the minister perhaps a review of the national understanding on the basis of the, you know, the inflationary trends he saw for the PAYE sector. How would you feel about that, Aidan?
Well, this is it. There was a major area there that concerned trade union people, I'd imagine, is the indexation of allowances. The minister hasn't, as far as I can understand, he hasn't made any concessions in this area. And well, while inflation is roaring at 15, 20, 18% per annum, the allowances that we have here, personal allowances, are of course depreciated by this amount, and that in real terms we're paying more tax. Whether the minister was in a position to do anything this time, I don't know.
Possibly. Agree. I think his hands are fairly well tied now, aren't they?
His hands are very, very well tied, and that there's a lot of restraints on the minister, particularly the amount of foreign borrowing that has been undertaken in the last few years for employment purposes, and the minister's hands are pretty tight.
Right, Aidan and Joe, I'll let you take a little breather there for a moment, because we do have on the telephone with us now one of Dundalk's prominent business people, Eamon Heaney. Eamon is a centre travel in the Dundalk Shopping Centre. Eamon, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
We're not into. We've been discussing for the past hour and running out of breath doing deep, in-depth discussions on our present budget. How do you feel about it? Are you aware of what has happened in it?
Well, I've heard a little of what's happened.
I might add, Eamon, that I spoke to you, I think, a couple of days ago, and you were sort of apprehensive that they may have put VAT on holidays this year.
Yes, we were slightly afraid that there was a whisper going around that